Good evening. How's everybody doing? We are blessed, highly favored, all that good stuff. God is a good God, isn't he? He's been with us all day long, all our lives. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen. So we just want to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for being here today, for bringing us to the end of our Wednesday. We just ask you, Lord God, that you just come into this place. Lord God, I just open myself up to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord God, that you use me to speak to your people, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, that you catch every ear, Lord God, that you have set this message for, Lord God. Allow them to hear you clearly and to receive everything that you have for them, Lord God. I ask you in Jesus' name that you allow me to share my testimony, Lord God, and that it will be the blessing to someone, Lord God. I just surrender myself to you right now, Lord God. I ask you to come into this place, Lord God. Make your presence known, Lord God. Allow our spiritual eyes and ears to see you and hear you, Lord God. We want to feel you move in us, Lord God. We want to feel you move in this place. You are welcome in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So this evening I am speaking, and I'm speaking on... My message is, the title of the message is, Peace Instead of Restlessness. Peace instead of restlessness. And this is something that I've been dealing with for a while. I'm just going to stop and pray one more time. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for Tani. I ask you, Lord God, you touch her, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, that you just take away every irritation in her eyes and in her body, Lord God. I ask you to bring her allergies under authority. Under your authority, Lord God, and bring forth peace in her body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So it's hard to look and see your sister suffering, you know, and you got to talk to people. It's like, no, we got to stop for a second. But I want to go to Mark 4:39. Mark 4:39, and I want to start off with this scripture. Mark 4:39, and he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'll read it again. And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So today I want to speak about anxiety. So it's peace instead of restlessness, dealing with anxiety. Anxiety was something that I dealt with when I was a young mother. I was in the process of getting a divorce, or I already had gotten a divorce, and I moved on my own with the kids. I became a single mom, and I was used to everything being taken care of. It was just not working out. but even to this day now, I still deal with anxiety in some areas occasionally. But the difference is now I have authority over it. I know I have authority over it. So my existence right now at this podium, you know, sharing this message is to let you know you can get authority over it. Anxiety is a horrible thing to deal with because it kind of like you're kind of out of control. But we can have authority over anxiety. It is horrible, but it is under our feet. And that's what we have to study, that's what we have to learn, and that's what we have to practice. That's the only way that we're going to keep it under authority. Amen. So this has been something I've been dealing with. I've gone to God before it, gone before God with this lately, because I've noticed that a lot of people around me are dealing with anxiety. I know during the pandemic, it was high. I'm pretty sure that percentage of anxiety was high as the sky. You know what I mean? Because everything was just random and uncontrollable and just, you know what I mean? But even before then, there was anxiety. Even before then, people dealt with, you know, anxiety. People dealt with not being able to have things under control, and fear. Anxiety stems from fear. That's where anxiety comes from. It comes from fear. There's a fear in us of something that we cannot control. There's something that we have experienced or we are going through that doesn't make you feel good. It makes you feel bad, and you can't control it. You don't know how to control it, and it gets the best of you. So some of us have anxiety attacks, which is what I did. And I had anxiety attacks because, I was a new young mom. I was a single mom, and it was new to me. I had been married, and I was getting a divorce, and I automatically had to step into another world, step into another responsibility, you know, step into the unknown, something I just didn't. It was unexpected, you know. So I just began to, my mind began to race. I had my three kids, and I had responsibility of taking care of them. I had the responsibility. I had a job that paid not enough, and I had to pay rent. I had to get a car. I had to be responsible. I had to take care of my household. I had just become the head of my household, you know. So that was just a new thing, and anybody can understand when you go through something like that. It does kind of knock you off your feet a minute. You know, it kind of knocks you off, and you gotta stand firm. You gotta figure out how you're gonna do this. And that wasn't where I was. I was in the process of trying to figure out how am I gonna do this. And in the process of me experiencing being a single mom, I would put my children to bed at night. I think I explained this to you. I told y'all this already. But I would put my children to bed at night, and in the wee hours of the night when I knew they were good and sleep and in a deep sleep, I would lay down and I would put the covers over my head. I put the pillow over my mouth, and I would just begin to wail, crying. And the enemy would be just saying, telling me, you can't do this. You can't do that. You don't have the money to do this. You know, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And he began to take my breath away because it was so overwhelming. But now I realize my sisters and my brothers are going through the same thing now. God brought me through it. So I cannot hold on to that. We talked about this. When you have a testimony, when you have something experienced that you have gone through and God got you through it, it's your responsibility to share it. So when I began to listen to my sisters talk, because that's who I heard from, my sisters, not my biological sisters, but my sisters here, and I began to realize that they were dealing with anxiety. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is something. You can see, I was telling my husband, you can look at people and see the nicest smile on their face. You know, they're walking and they're talking to you. Conversation is great. And you don't know when they go home, they're going to bed, putting the pillows and the covers over their heads and screaming in anxiety, trying to figure out life. We just don't know. You know what I mean? We just don't know. But when God puts somebody on your heart, I think Pastor was speaking on that too. When God puts somebody on your heart, it's not just to say, oh, yeah, I think you said that. Tony said that. Oh, yeah, I know her. You know, she's good. You know, she's a good person and on and on. No, it's because he needs you to pray for that person. So even though you say, yeah, you know that person, they're a good person, hit the knees. You know, go down, drop to your knees, and go before God for them because they're suffering something. They may not tell you. Some people never say anything, and you never know. You know, you just don't know. Nobody knew that I was having anxiety attacks in the middle of the night because I made sure I had them in the middle of the night. I made sure that my children didn't know. I didn't want to upset my children. I didn't want them to see mommy crying. I didn't want them to see mommy gasping for air, you know, and in a great panic. I didn't want them to see that, just as now. We don't want people to see that. There are people around us that don't want us to see that. They want us to see the together part of them when they're not together. And when you are not together, you need to be transparent. That's the first thing that the enemy will hold against you. Keep it to yourself. You don't want people to see you looking like that. Wipe your face. Don't go to church today because you don't have it together. When actually that's exactly where you need to be, because that's where the word is just flowing in the atmosphere. That's where your healing is just flowing in the atmosphere, and it's what you need. So I began to pray. I began to pray, and I began to just trust God. And the thing is, Just because we go through something and we have defeated that thing, whatever that thing is in your life, it doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to try to take you there again. So it's the Bible says pray without ceasing. We need to constantly pray. We need to continue to pray all the time, because if we don't, we can get caught. It's easy. The enemy is always knocking at your door. He's always trying to trip you up some kind of way. So even though I have gotten over that, the enemy still comes, and he'll still try something with me. But no, I have authority, and I have to let him know. You got to let the enemy know I have authority over you. And you can't just run rapping in and out of my life like you want to. You know, you can't just have me all emotional here and emotional there. So you got to have authority over it. That's one of the things. But there are two sides of our brain that deal with our emotions. I'm going to try to pronounce this right. The amygdala, which tells you panic. Something is wrong, you know? You know, be careful, beware. And then there's another part of our brain, and that's the prefrontal cortex. It tells you, oh, calm down, it's okay. You know, it tells you there's a logical reason behind what you're experiencing. So while you up here in the air, it's telling you, calm down. You know, what did I just see? And then you look again, your prefrontal cortex tells you, oh, it's just a cat. Calm down. You know what I mean? They both take us to the extreme of our emotions. One takes you up and one brings you down. And that's literally what's on the inside of us. That's how we were created. But when you're a child of God, we have authority over those things, you know? We don't have to just, because it's a part of our brain, you don't have to just let it function. You don't have to just let it have its way and run rampant in you. You'll go crazy. You know what I mean? So one takes us up, one brings us down. We have to have and we have to take authority over those things. Amen? So I want to share another scripture with you as soon as I find it. Okay, 1 Peter 5:7. This is in the NIV version, but you can still open up your regular Bibles. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, 7th verse. And it says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He literally says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So when we're going through those panicky moments, when we're going through those moments where we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, and it kind of hits you all of a sudden. You know, it kind of just swoops in and hits you all of a sudden. And it's like you're telling yourself, you got to answer now. Hurry up, hurry up. And you don't. You don't. You got to trust God. We got to take authority over that thing. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what he has given us. And we have to operate in that. And because anxiety is so high, because anxiety is so so strong, it's something that you constantly have to keep beating at. It's something that you have to, it's kind of like you got to be like a military sergeant with yourself. You have to make sure, I got to pray today. I've got to make sure I cover myself. I've got to make sure that I cover my children. I've got to make sure I cover my household. Because what you deal with when you're going through life, more than likely, I think I said this, your children will deal with it as well. Because your children, you are their example. So when they watch you, a lot of things my children have told me that they have seen in me that I thought I hid. And I'm like, wow. I thought I did so well of hiding that from you so you wouldn't see that, you wouldn't experience that. But then not only do they see it, they mimic it because it's all they know. That's what you teach them. So we have to constantly pray and cover our children. We have to constantly pray and cover our household. You know, cover those, even those in your circle, in your inner circle. You got to cover and you got to pray and cover them because you don't know what you're passing on. You have to be careful with what you're passing on. Amen. So, trying not to miss any of my scriptures because all of them are valid. So I began to pray. And I began to pray in the midst of, because I knew God. I had a relationship with God. It just wasn't strong. I knew him because my mom knew him. My parents knew him. We went to church. It became a routine for me. I began to love the Lord. I did. But I hadn't had that deep personal relationship with God until I went through this divorce, until I went through this experience of having anxiety attacks, and I had never experienced those before. So it was kind of like, am I going to die? That's how I felt. Like, and all I could say was, I can't die. I got kids. You know? I can't. So that's that one point that takes you up. Am I going to die? Am I dying? And then the other point that brings you down, I have children. Calm down. In the natural, if you go through anxieties or you go through, I forget the other ones. But when you deal with these attacks, they tell you to, which is a good idea, have a counselor. Get a counselor. If you can't get it under control, get a counselor. If you're a Christian, get a Christian counselor because you want to know what the word says. You know what I mean? Get a counselor. You want to talk it out because that calms you down. That deals with the prefrontal cortex, so it calms you down because you get to speak it out. You get to let it go. It doesn't get to fest on the inside of you. It doesn't get to build up on the inside of you. So doctors suggest get a counselor. You need a counselor. It may sound, I don't know what you call it. It may sound lame. It may sound like repetitive, but it works. Get a counselor. Whether it be your pastor, whether it be a professional, get a counselor. Whether it be a family member, somebody who is wise, go before them and let them know what you're going through so that you will be able to let it out, because the enemy can't hold on to something that you release. He can try to bring it back to you, but he can't hold it on. He can't hold on to it on the inside of you because you released it. And that's the whole thing about dealing with anxiety. I hope people are hearing me. Dealing with anxiety is a disease. It's a disorder that you want to be transparent with. It's a disorder that you want to be open and seen with, because it will happen less if you're transparent. I don't know why. It's just a hidden thing. It's like the enemy himself. It's a hidden thing, but it's not a good thing to hide. And we have pride. But if you care for yourself, if you care about your children and your inner circle, people who are around you, who you affect, you need to open up your mouth and you need to release it so you can kill it. Amen. And we have to kill it over and over and over again because it's going to keep coming back. The enemy's going to try to keep coming it back, bringing it back to you because it was so strong in your life. Anything that takes effect on your life strongly and makes a big impact in your life negatively, the enemy is going to try to keep using that thing to bring it back to you so that he can knock you off your feet. He's going to try to trip you up, catch you while one foot is up and one foot is down. You know what I mean? But if you're constantly praying, you got to pray. You got to go before God. That's the thing I had to do. So when in the process of as I began to notice that I was having a routine of anxiety attacks, I began to pray in the midst of my anxiety attacks. So as I'm trying to gasp for air, I would say, this is what I would say. I would say, you, oh God, are mighty. You are great. You are mighty in the midst of me trying to get air. You, oh God, are great and mighty. You, oh God, are wiser than I am. You're wiser than I am. I would say, you, oh God, know all things. So you know why I'm going through this. I don't want it anymore. That's what I would tell him. I am nothing without you. I need you. Please help me out of this. Please help me. You said you would never leave me. I had to remind him of his word. You said you would never leave me. And I am in a horrible, horrible position right now, and I feel alone. That's what I would tell him. I surrendered to you and to you only. And the more I did that, the more the enemy didn't want to have anything to do with this little activity that we were having. He just didn't want to have any he didn't want to have any part of it. There are a few things. That I do to get God's attention. There are a few things that I do, which I just explained to you, to get God's attention. I want to be humble before God, even in the midst of my weakness, even in the midst of my trouble, even in the midst of my sin, if I want to be forgiven and if I want it to go away. Pray and acknowledge God. Acknowledge God for who he is. I had to tell him, you are almighty. You know all. And you know why I'm going through this thing. And you know how I feel about it. You know how it's affecting me. I have 3 children to take care of, and I don't have time for this. I can't lose my mind because I have children to take care of. I have to take care of them. You know, I'm their legal guardian. I have to be sane. I have to be at peace. I can't yell at my children every time I get an emotion. I can't be emotional. I've got to get this under control. And the only way that I can do that, Lord God, is come before you because you know all. You know how to do it. You know how to do this. And I would ask him. I would ask him for help. I would remind him of his word. And I would pray in my heavenly language forever. That was something that I learned young. Early on in my Christian walk, there are something, I'm going to read it. There are some things that we cannot explain to God on our natural level, but Jesus knows. And he will send his Holy Spirit to ask God for what we need, because there is a level that we cannot go to really get the right word to tell God what we actually need, but Jesus knows. And he will pray on our behalf to God. And he will take that actual specific message to God that we can't get to him and let God know what's going on, and heavens will open. That's why it's so meaningful, it's so important that you pray in your heavenly language. I mean, all the time. I tell my daughter all the time, don't forget to pray in your heavenly language, because it's powerful. It seems meaningless. It seems time-wasting. You know, you're just babbling. But I told her, as you clean, as you're at work, you can do it in your mind. You know, as you're going to the store, you know, in the middle of a conversation, I'm telling you, I prayed in my heavenly language every single kind of way there was. I mean, up hills, down the street, to the store. I mean, I just prayed. It became automatic. It just became automatic to me. It was just something that became second nature to me. I got up in the morning. I was praying in my heavenly language. I prayed in my heavenly language so much that sometimes I didn't realize I was praying in my heavenly language. But other people would be saying, what'd you say? And I'm like, oh. You know, standing in the line, lady turned around, you talking to me? I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? It was just so automatic. I remember one time, I don't know why, but I remember one time I was going up this, it was in the middle of winter, and the streets were icy. And I was going up a hill. I think I was going to work, but I was going up a hill. This was years ago. And I'm praying in my heavenly language. I'm praying, not realizing I'm praying in my heavenly language. And all the cars begin to fall backwards on the ice, except for mine. The guy veered my car to the side, and every car just went past me. And they just crashed. And Holy Spirit said, that's what your heavenly language does. You don't know? You just don't know. I remember that like crazy. I mean, this is just like yesterday. But you got to constantly pray in your heavenly language, because there's something on this level that can't reach God. There's something on this level that just cannot reach God. Think it not strange when you speak in your heavenly language. We think it's strange because we don't understand it. And that's the whole purpose. We are out of control. It is not in our control, but it is in Jesus' control. He goes before the Father for us. We pour out our heart to him, and he goes before the Father. And he gives them the message of what we need, because he knows, like a doctor. You know, we go to the doctor, we tell him the symptoms that we have, and then he takes it to God. And he comes back with the healing. The healing comes. He just lets God know everything that's going on in us, and God brings us the healing. Amen. So we have to go before God. I seriously and strongly encourage you to, if you're not using your heavenly language, begin to. You will see many changes in your life on your behalf. I encourage you strongly to begin to speak in your heavenly language. It will begin to change things on your behalf, and you will not know. You will have not had asked anything, but you're just trusting the Holy Spirit to speak on your behalf. It works. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. This is in the NIV too, but still you can change over. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. So funny, because I'm almost done with this message. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That's what I'm talking about. Pray continually. That's what it says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you need, when I was younger in Christ, I was like, give me scripture for what you're saying. I want to see it for myself. Being literal, which is not that great. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. Constantly pray. There's not enough prayers in the world that we can say. We got to continue. And it's all it is communicating with God. If you stay in communication with God, just like you have a bestie, you have a best friend, you know, and y'all talk on the phone all the time, you know, and the conversations change, you laugh, you cry, just the same thing with God. It's the same thing with God, only this prayer is effective. Now, you may be able to release to your bestie and tell them but they can't do nothing about it other than pray for you. So pray continually. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And it says, you can write it down. It says, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which exceeds with excellence all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And your mind in Christ Jesus. It will deal with that anxiety. Amen. It will deal with that anxiety. Hallelujah. 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 God is a good God. He's amazing. He's our Redeemer. He's our healer. There are so many things that we go through in life that we think we are alone, and we are not. There are so many things in life that we experience, and we feel like we're the only one that experienced that thing the way that we experienced it. And sometimes we'll even go even to a further step. I want to know somebody who went through the exact same thing that I went through. If it's not exact, then you don't understand where I'm coming from. You're not going to find that. You're just not going to find that. Falling is falling. If I fail and you're falling, I understand what you mean. I understand you, and I'm going to help you up. Because I didn't fall to my left and you fell to your right, don't make a difference. Amen. So we want to trust God. We want to pray in our heavenly language. We want to explain to God who he is to us. We want to humble ourselves and go before him in the midst of anxiety, because I am talking about anxiety. That's what I'm talking about. I am talking about anxiety because anxiety tried to take me out of here, and it didn't. And I know it's trying to take somebody else out of here, and it won't. I'm here to tell you it won't. But you have got to put God first in everything. You have got to put God first before you do anything. Before you try to solve that problem, go before God so he can give you the strategy on how to solve that problem. God is not saying don't move and don't do nothing. He's saying let me know what you want. Let me know what's going on so I can tell you how to do it. Because he does want us to move. He does want us to do something. He wants us to be able to be active in the because that's the only way we're going to learn. If there's something chasing us, we got to turn around and see what's chasing us. We can't keep running. You know what I mean? We got to turn around and face the thing. So anxiety was my thing that I was running from. Anxiety was the thing that was overtaking me, was overtaking my mind. My goodness. It was a horrible feeling. And it was all because I was alone. I felt alone. It was all because I felt I couldn't do what was being done in my life before I was divorced. Everything was being provided for. Everything was taken care of. I didn't have a worry. I didn't have I didn't have those problems. But I knew people who did, and I thank God for allowing me to go through that so that I could understand how they were going through things. And it made my heart tender for people who go through anxiety, because anxiety is not a good experience, and it can take you out of here. Not only can it take you out of here, if it don't take you out of here, it can last forever long, for lifelong, and it will pull you out of activities that you should be at. It'll pull you away from things that you should be experiencing, all because of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. We got to remember that. That's one of my favorite scriptures. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind of love. I have a spirit of love on the inside of me. I have a spirit of power on the inside of me. And I have a sound mind. Amen. I have a spirit of a sound mind. So God, his love, his power, and his soundness is on the inside of me operating. And in every circumstance, every situation in my life I can apply those things. And it will get rid of it. Amen? But we got to remember, we got to pray continually, because the enemy is going to try to bring those things back. Our memories sometimes bring those things back. It don't have to even be the enemy all the time. Sometimes we'll just think back on, we'll do a reminiscing thing and go back too far. You know, you talk to the wrong person, they'll take you all the way back. You know? So you just got to pray without ceasing, continually pray, continually trust God. God can handle and do what we can't. God can handle it. We can't. So we have to get a control and a calming over ourselves through prayer. That's how it's going to happen. And trust God to do and handle what we can't. Just hand it to him. We got to stop trying to handle it ourselves, because we're harming ourselves. When God said, cast all your anxieties on me, because I care for you. He wants them. If he wants my hurt and he wants my pain, I'm going to give it to him, because I can't handle it. And I know that he can. Amen. One more scripture, Matthew 6:33. Thank you, Lord God. Matthew 6, chapter 33rd verse. And it says, everybody got it? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, your deliverance, your peace, your joy. All the things that the enemy is trying to strip you of, God will deliver them back to you. He'll give them all back to you. All you have to do is seek him first. The first thing you do when you fall is look to God. When you fall down, look up, even if you can't get up, because that's how you're going to get up. Look up. Acknowledge who he is. Humble yourself to God and trust him. Give it to him. If he's reaching out for it, give it to him. I know it's easier said than done. I know, because I experienced it. I had an anxiety attack in my home when my daughter was home one day. And I completely destroyed my house. I completely destroyed my bedroom. I turned everything upside down because I was out of control. I had no control. And I totally, completely tore my bedroom up. I mean, I broke some things that I liked and that I wanted, that I cherished. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take your valuables. And you, number one, are valuable. He wants to take all the stuff that you value first. He wants to take all of that away from you and bring you to a point of depression. And then he wants to snatch you up. That's what anxiety does. We got to know how powerful anxiety is. But we, on top of that, got to know how even greater God is. God's greater than anxiety. So whoever is dealing with anxiety, who's dealing with loneliness, who's dealing with depression, I encourage you to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all the and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Your peace, your deliverance, and your joy will all come back. But you got to continue to pray. You got to continue to go before God. Pray without ceasing. Keep praying. Pray in your heavenly language. It's easier sometimes to pray in your heavenly language than to pray regular, because we literally have to find words to say. We have to find words to express ourselves. But if you speak in your heavenly language, it takes over. The Holy Spirit just takes over. Amen. Sometimes the enemy will try to make us think things are harder than they really are, and they're not. They are not. When you are speaking in your heavenly language and you get to the point where you're listening to yourself and you don't understand what you're saying, stop thinking. Stop listening to yourself and continue to raise your hands and surrender to God and let him take over. Let the Holy Spirit take over. I have known a lot of people who stop speaking in a heavenly language because it didn't sound right. They say it sounds like I'm gibbering. Probably are. But it's words to God. He understands. He completely understands. And the enemy wants to take that away because it's so powerful. It's a tool to be used for your benefit. It's a tool that can take you straight before God. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Trust God. Continue to love on him. Continue to keep the word of God just on your daily journey. Take in the word so you can know what God says about you. He says some great things about us. He gives us power. There is power in just reading the word of God, let alone understanding the word of God. There is power that pleases God just to know that you're reading the word. You want to know. But then his blessing comes down and he tells you, he explains to you who exactly you are to him, who exactly the authority that you have on the inside of your life. He lets you know that. So we just have to continue to humble ourselves before God. We have to continue to trust God, even in our fears. Pastor says it all the time. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. When I prayed, I prayed during my anxiety attacks when I realized what was going on. And that's the thing. Once you realize where you are, do something about it. Take it to God and get a strategy. My strategy was, God said, pray, Rhonda. Talk to me. Talk to me in the midst of this thing, because the enemy's going to get tired of it. God, the enemy don't want to be in a conversation with you and God. He don't have nothing to do with that. So if you bring God in the presence, he can't stand in the presence of the Lord. So you've got to continue to pray without ceasing, nonstop. Keep praying. It took years for me to be delivered from that process. But thank God I got through it. And I got through it sooner with the understanding in the process of going through it. I mean, I truly was delivered immediately. But even though the attack still came, I knew how to pray, so I knew I was going to be okay. Isn't that something? The body is different than the spirit. It goes through routine. It's harder to change than the spirit is. The spirit is what God speaks in our spirit is what functions, what goes on and what happened. It is. But when we speak to our flesh is still going on memory. Girl, you know when you get into bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's coming. But you got to continue to pray, because God said he would do it. You said you would never leave me, Lord. And because you said you would never leave me alone, you know that when I'm in that attack, when I'm being attacked, if I bring you in the presence, the enemy can't stay. So I'm just going to keep bringing you to the activity. I'm going to keep bringing you. And after that, my routine got better and better and better and less and less and less. And so even now, I just take authority over it. You know you can't stand in the presence of God, so let's not play this game. God is greater than you. Greater is he on the inside of me than he is in the world. You can't handle it. Amen? God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. God is a good God. And to those who are dealing with anxiety attacks, those who are dealing with fear, those who are dealing with depression, I will continue to pray that you will be delivered. But this is just a tool for you to pray for yourself, for you to be active in this thing and be able to bring it under control yourself. Because at some point, for you to be delivered, you're going to have to, one, ask for deliverance. You're going to have to acknowledge what you're going through. And you're going to have to give it to God. I can't do that part for you. We can pray for you, but we can't actually do anything. We can't make you do anything. So you got to humble yourself before God. And I'm telling you, it'll change. It may take a while or it may happen in an instant, but it will happen. Father, we glorify your great name and we thank you, Lord God, for being God, for being our provider, for being our protector, for being our deliverer, for being our healer, for being everything, Lord God. You are all. You know all. And we thank you, Father, for knowing us, knowing our life, Lord, knowing our lifestyle, Lord God. Knowing our anxieties, we thank you, Lord God. And we surrender them to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we just ask you, Lord God, that you just take them away and bring forth your deliverance, bring forth your healing, and bring forth your peace in our lives. Have your way in this time, Lord God. Have your way in us, Lord God. Go home with us, Holy Spirit, and continue to minister to us, that we will be ministered to deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Real quick, it's just something that the Lord put on my spirit. So just take a seat for a second. Just give me 5 minutes. You know, when I know that word that God spoke was specifically to people in general. I don't know who the people were, but it was a specific word to go right from heaven into the spirit of the people that's dealing with the issues. But it's interesting, the title, Peace Instead of Restlessness. Peace instead of restlessness. That means that there is a choice that we can have. We can have peace, or we can be restless. We can have the peace, or we can be restless. Restless, I have less rest than I should have. But why are you restless? If I don't have rest, I have less than the rest that God wants me to have. And I'm saying this slow so you can understand it. Sometimes we have become busybodies. And we're so busy doing things, so busy thinking things, so busy planning things, that we are restless because we say, I don't have time to receive the peace that God wants us to have. I need you to understand this. We blame everything and everybody for us being restless except for ourselves. We don't take the time to say, Lord, I'm just going to sit down and give you my thoughts. What we do is we call everybody that we think is available, and we want to talk about everything that we're thinking. And then some of us don't like still to this day being alone with the feeling that you are by yourself. So you're constantly doing things, because if you are alone, you have to deal with the things that are before you. You have to deal with the feelings and the thoughts that are before you. And one of the things that God wants us to know tonight, and I'm glad that the word was delivered tonight, that which one do you want? Do you want to have peace, or do you want to be restless? Because some of us say, I want peace, but I won't slow down and be still enough to let God bring the peace. So many times, peace is around us, but we don't look for the peace. we talk about and we deal with the feelings and the thoughts and all the things that we are seeing, and we conversate on everything. If I could tell you that half the things we talk about, God doesn't want us talking about it because it removes the peace that God wants us to have. Half of the things that we speak on, half of the people we speak on removes the peace that God wants us to have. Half of the times that we take our time and think on, God says, think on these things which are lovely and pure. Think on these things. Those are the things that's going to bring you the peace, but they are also rest stealers. And we wonder, why don't I have the peace that I should have? Because you won't do what will allow the peace to come and stay unto you. When's the last time that we really took a rest? When's the last time we said, I'm going to take 30 minutes in this day and I'm just going to sit down and I'm just going to rest? When's the last time we said, I'm going to take 30 minutes and I'm going to do nothing? When's the last time that you said, I'm going to take 30 minutes and I'm just going to concentrate on my breathing? When's the last time we said, I'm just going to get out of this environment that I feel is stealing my peace, and whether if I have a car or not, I'm just going to walk to another area and I'm just going to breathe and rest. I'm going to leave this thought right here. I'm going to leave this feeling that's trying to overtake me. I'm going to leave this feeling right here, and I'm going to rest. Peace instead of restlessness. Which one do you want? Now, my wife brought many different things, and she talked about anxiety. And anxiety is in the Bible, yes, in 1 Thessalonians, when it says be anxious for nothing. Anxiousness just means being in a hurry to get something done. I'm anxious for it. I'm in a hurry to get it done. So all that means is I've tapped into the future and into an area that I don't belong. The main reason we have anxiety attacks because we want something that we feel we should be in from the future. We want it now. And because we don't have it, our heart is beating faster because it's trying to get to a place that we can't go to naturally, the future. Naturally, we can only stay in the present place that we are, but our mind can try to take our heart somewhere, and it's beating at a rate that it can't handle. I wish I had somebody to understand. Most of the problems that we have, we bring unto ourselves because we're trying to plan for something that God's already made provision for. We're talking about things that God said, I need you to leave that at the altar. We're talking about things God said, I thought when you said cast your cares upon me, I thought you casted that. I thought you already put that into the sea. I put it into the sea of forgetfulness. How come you keep bringing it up? You, out of your own mouth, said that situation isn't good for me. Why do you keep bringing up that situation? You, out of your own mouth, said that person isn't good for me. Why do you keep talking to that person? You, out of your own mouth, said I'm no longer going to do that. So why do you keep thinking about all the things that you did with the things that brought you the negativity? Think on these things. Think on these things. You're going to have to. We're going to have to play the shuffle game and shuffle, reshuffle the deck and find out what side are we going to be on. Whose side are you on? As for me and my house. If we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to obey what the Lord said is going to bring us the peace that he wants us to have. Finally, we know the story of Jesus in the boat resting as the boat was rocking. He gave us that example to let us know our relationship with him doesn't stop the boat from rocking, but it stops our heart from beating faster than it's supposed to. We're trying to rebuke the boat from rocking, and God's saying, I'm trying to get you to be able to rebuke the storm. You're rebuking the wrong thing. You don't want the boat to rock. God didn't stop the boat from rocking. He stopped the storm from affecting his environment. Oh, that right there, you missed. Because we have the ability to control our environment when we think on these things is going to bring us the peace that he wants us to have. But when my sister brought up the word conjure, and yes, everybody think of conjure, they think of negativity, and so do I, because you got Conjuring number 1 through 30 in the movies. The point that I'm saying is we have the ability to create things, good and or bad, based on what we say and what we do. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Faith without works is dead. There's movement that we have to do. We can't just talk about it and not be about it. What I want us to know, peace instead of restlessness. If you're restless, now you're going to try to do things. Anxiety, I want this to happen. I'm thinking all these things. When was the last time you told yourself to stop thinking and just praise the Lord? When's the last time you said, I'm going to give this to God, and you really gave it to him without sneaking and taking it back when you thought God was busy? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking to. You think God's busy answering somebody's prayer, and you go and snatch that thing, and then you bring it right back, and you start talking about it, and now you're having a panic attack again, and you're like, and Lord, I thought it was over. Well, it was over until you took it again and brought it all back again. He gave you the peace, but are we doing what it takes to keep the peace? That right there is where I want to let this end. He made a way out of no way, and then you went back to the past and brought the past to your current. And now you got to start all over again. I end with this. I was over there writing notes to things that my wife was saying, and God gave me this analogy, and he said, an outlet is only as good as the electrical system. An outlet is only as good as the electrical system. And then he says, and a plug is only as good as the outlet. And what do you mean by that? There is power coming through the outlet. Power going into the outlet. So many times we have thoughts, and this power. We have skills. We have ideas, and sometimes we're not plugged into the right thing. I say, don't mess with me, Jesse. Come on now. Sometimes we're plugged into something that's too weak. And sometimes a faulty plug can affect a good outlet. Sometimes you're wondering why it's not working for you. Check what you're plugged into. You wonder why you were so strong, but now you have things plugged into you that's pulling the power that you had. And now you're not functioning in the ability that you were created to function in. Some of us don't have the peace because we have things draining our power. We have people plugged into us, and we should have pulled the cord a long time ago. We have people with you've seen cords with duct tape, and cords that you can see the inner working of the cord, and you're just hoping and praying that, you know, nothing. You know you guys, and especially you iPhone users, I've seen those iPhone chargers, all like mice ate them up and everything, and you still turning and twisting it trying to get a charge. That's how we look at times. Faulty. And that's why we don't have the peace. What I want to challenge us, sometimes those thoughts are affecting the power. Sometimes those thoughts are affecting the power, and that's why we don't have the peace. Sometimes our actions are pulling the power, and it's keeping us from being who God has called us to be in the season that we're in. Sometimes those thoughts is just pulling the power. Those ideas pulling on the power. Faulty thinking ruining the power. Faulty habits affecting the power. It doesn't matter if you can say, I know the electrician, or I know the builder who built it. They do good work. But if your wiring isn't the way it's supposed to be, if we're not checking our wires, checking our cords, that's affecting the result of the power that God wants us to have. He wants you to have peace. But it's up to us to keep the peace. This is why I don't believe, don't care what you think, I don't believe in the same person coming up to the altar every single week for 2 months straight, nothing's changed. What are you saying? When God gave it to you, it was faulty on his part? Or did you take it, run, and go right back to the same old, and then come back again, plug it in? That's weak wiring. I've seen people come over my house with their bad cord, try to plug it in my wall, and say, my phone is still not charging properly. And then I give them a good cord, plug it into their same phone. Oh my God, it's charging so fast. The source has the power. God has the power. But sometimes it's us. That's why we don't have the peace. That's why we're so restless. I challenge everybody here to make sure you're not the reason you don't have the peace. Make sure your thoughts aren't the reason that you can't think of the good things God wants because you refuse to get rid of the bad thoughts. Make sure that you're not the reason that God can't bring better people in your life because you're not ready to get rid of the bad ones. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to your people in such a manner that some of us actually is hearing you. We're hearing you by the Spirit. And we want to do better. Father, there's a remnant of people that want to do better. They want to do better. They want to do better because they know if they do better, they'll become better. They want to think better. They want to act better so that they can be better. Not so that they can receive better, but that they can be better. I thank you. Tonight, there are people that have heard the message from your minister tonight, Lord God, that you show the distinction between peace and restlessness. Not only do we rebuke anxiety, not only do we rebuke depression, we rebuke the inner workings of the things. Be still, be still. The inner workings of the things that cause those things. We bind in the name of Jesus the root cause of those things. We bind up the spirit of busy, being busy. We bind up the thoughts of continually thinking negative things that bring negative feelings. We bind up people, Lord God, that keeps coming to church that love you but won't be still enough to feel your spirit. We bind up the ones that feel that they have to move all the time so that they can't be still enough for you to overtake them. We bind up the enemy using your people, Lord God, to keep conversations going, to keep movements going, to keep transportation moving in and out but not addressing anything for the kingdom of God. We speak for your peace to reside, Lord God, with your children, Lord God. We speak for your peace, Lord God, to be held, Lord God, in such a high regard, Lord God, that those people that want to stay depressed will run away from us because of the power that we have that will loose them in the name of Jesus. We know what we loose on earth. And what we bind on earth is loosed in heaven and loose, Lord God. And I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that we loose freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom for minds to change for those that want change. Freedom for those that truly want to be delivered from all things, not just some things. We exercise the right of all of your children. whether they acknowledge you right now or they will. We speak to them and give them the right to claim their freedom in you, their deliverance in you. And I thank you for order being reset, for order being reset, for order being reset. We walk in what you have given us, and that is our peace. And we bind up restlessness in the name of Jesus. From this moment on, we accept nothing less than all of the peace that you died for us to have, Jesus. We claim it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We will look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Amen. Amen.
You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.